But often, not always, but often it's because something's lacking, right? It's because if they were getting sales and consistent sales, they wouldn't be creating another offer. So let's focus on what's not working, you know, the leak. What is it that you need to kind of hone in on, tweak, improve? Is it your content? Is it your offer? Is it your messaging? Is it, what is it? So tweak and improve something that you've already got rather than creating something new.
Oh my God. Hi, Anne. I'm so excited. Thank you so much for being here. Where should we start? Because I feel like, so I've interviewed Anne before on my podcast, so you can catch one of her podcasts before. So we've got the almost like the origin story and the background. This series that I wanted to do is really about like big dreams manifested, big dreams manifesting, and then like how that is in the context of the biggest things that you're really like vibing with right now. And so with you, it's like high ticket offers, money, all the things. So I'm super excited for everybody to get to know you if they don't already. So if you didn't know, Anne is in Figure 7, which is my mastermind. She's such an amazing energy in there. We're so happy and we love having you in there. But we've known each other for a while. We were in a mastermind together. And so now it's just this beautiful thing is like we get to take this further and we get to like dive in. So yeah, welcome, Anne. So happy you're here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for having me again. And yeah, I'm super excited, slightly nervous, as I mentioned before. I don't even know why I'm nervous because I talk to you all the time, but I still kind of like, yeah, I'm excited to be here. So I'm looking forward to this conversation.
I love it. I feel like sometimes it's like butterflies in the belly when you're going to talk about something, because sometimes when I go live, I get nervous before and I'm like, I've probably been live like 10,000 times at this point. Do you ever get nervous when you go, before you go live still to this day?
Yeah, still to this day, that moment before you push that go live button, it's kind of like, will the words come out? Do I know what I want to talk about? And all the things. But the moment I hit go live, I'm perfectly fine. But just that little space of time before is really hard. Yeah, still to this day.
I think that's good for us all to hear. And I always refer to this quote that I heard. It's not even a quote. It was just something that he said, his Sting. I don't even know his actual real name. But before he went on stage, I don't know where I saw it or heard it, but the interviewer asked him, do you still get nervous? Do you get nerves? And he's like, the day I don't get nerves is the day that I retire. And right. I think that that's such a good context for us because we're like, oh, I'm so anxious. Or is it like butterflies? And it's, you're excited to do the work that you're doing. So I think just when you put change the perspective on it, it completely, you're like, oh, this is because I'm not ready to retire yet. I'm like in it. So love that. Okay. So I want to go really deep first of all, because this is all about big dreams manifested, big dreams manifesting.
Yeah.
So there's three big things I know that you've manifested, especially in your business, is you've mastered and basically manifested, but in a sense, it's like mastered high ticket offers. I would love you to just like touch on that a bit, where that came from. Like, let's just open up that can of worms around high ticket offers and the way that you do it.
Yeah, look, that's such a good question. And it is a can of worms, isn't it? It's kind of, and I just wrote a post about this too. High ticket, where did it come from? Look, it was kind of an accidental thing, I think, that I sort of fell into it. I didn't even know that I'd niched or chosen a particular path, but I kind of had that little bit of arrogant confidence. You know, I'm not a beginner. Yeah. I've got this long corporate career behind me. I had another business offline that I started with my husband. And so when I started as a coach, I was just kind of, you know, and I'd learned a lot about mindset and self-worth. And, you know, so I kind of thought, right, I'm going to practice what I've learned, right? I'm worthy and my time is valuable and my time is limited. And so, yeah, I just kind of thought I was going to own it right from the beginning. You know, I kind of thought about, right, what would be an hourly rate that I'd feel really good with? I wasn't charging by the hour, but, you know, that's how it kind of started. I kind of thought, well, this is how much I did earn in corporate, because in corporate, I was actually charging by the hour. Towards the end of my career, I was a consultant. So I charged $1,000 a day. So it was a daily rate that I charged. And so that was kind of my starting point, you know, knowing that had set the benchmark. And then I went from there and, yeah, I haven't looked back.
it's in like an absolute, it's kind of like a mindset. And as I hear you talking about like high ticket offers, I can just see there's such a like, it's who I am. It's like, it's almost like an identity of like, and it's very absolute and certain, and there's a mindset around it. So if there's people that sort of desiring high ticket, but they haven't got themselves there, but I feel like you got yourself, there was the desire, but then it was mostly circumstance. It was the circumstances like this is, and is going to be the way that I've got to do it. So it's basically because you had to do it that way. So is there a mindset that you feel that if you didn't have to do it, that would be really helpful to have, like what you've seen probably with your clients that don't have to do it, but then they've got the desire to, and then they've embodied like a mindset to be able to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Look, and I'll just preface it by saying I also waver, right? Yeah. I also have my days where I question my worthiness and my pricing, and can I do this and should I reduce that and all the things, right? So I'm far from perfect when it comes to having this kind of conviction and certainty, but that's what I practice, right? And I guess like in many ways, when you start a business from nothing, it's almost easier. Right. But I know everyone has their story and everyone has their backstory. But when you've had a corporate career and you're used to a certain level of income, giving that up to start a business is a big risk, right? You're taking away something, a particular lifestyle you've got used to start a business. And so that's how my husband and I started. We quit our corporate careers, borrowed money against our home to start our first business. And so we had nothing, right? 2-year-old, 4-year-old. We could have lost it all. So we took a massive risk. Similarly, when I started my coaching career, it was like, well, I could earn $1,000 a day as a consultant. And it's kind of like, well, why would I start a coaching business if I'm going to be earning less? You know, and aside from the fact that I was sort of done with helping the big corporates get richer and I wasn't fully, you know, in my, sort of living my passion and my purpose in life. And so I kind of had that conviction or that certainty from the beginning, that's how it had to be. And, you know, and even today, as I help my own clients, I can tell it's the people that don't have that conviction that struggle the most.
Yeah.
That certainty piece is so important. And no one can give you that. You've just got to have that. Right? You can't sell something that you're not, and you're selling yourself as a coach, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't do that unless you have that certainty.
I think that's definitely such a good point. So I feel like it definitely comes down to mindset of certainty. And it was like, when you were talking, I was thinking about when I first started as well. When I first started, I charged well above what would be hourly, well, considered hourly, because I didn't have that much time because I had babies. And so having babies and going, well, because this woman, she reached out to me, I was doing big things. I was creating an online tech company and I was also blogging, and she just found me and come across like those two intersections of different businesses, the business, the online tech company that I had, the wedding makeup business that I had, and then the blog that I had and the mummy blog. And so all of that combined, and she said, can I work with you? And I was like, first of all, I didn't even know what that meant. I thought she wanted to work with me as a, like, I'm like, I'm not taking on any stuff. She's like, no, like, with you, can I get on the call with you? And I was like, I guess. But then my brain could even consider and compute very early on. So basically what you're asking is me to condense 10 years of expertise of learning things in the ring the hard way, starting this tech company, it all those lessons and learnings that I'd done, the businesses before that that had come and gone, and package it up and then like just basically fire hose you for an hour of you just asking me questions and me just answering you. Oh, this is not going to be cheap. And it's an hour of like just my time. Like I only can affect that one person I'm on the call with. And so I think even my first call, right when I don't even think it was 2013, I said 300. I couldn't do it from less than 300. She's like, sure, great, awesome. 300 for that 1 hour. And then before I knew it, I was like, I need to charge more for that. But, and it was never hourly again. But I think there's something to be said for having that actual literal scarcity, as in there is a finite amount of time that you have available, and so therefore it's going to be this price because there is a finite amount of time that I can do it for, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is a mindset thing. It really is, you know, and understanding what your time is worth. And when I think of an investment, whether it's investing with you, Jana, or my clients investing in me, it's not just for that period of time either, right? The benefits don't just last 12 months or 3 months or whatever that period of time is, or even a 3-hour masterclass, right? It's the benefits last for as long as you choose to apply what you've learned, right? And it could potentially be a lifetime of benefits. And so, yeah, how do you put a price on that, right? And like you just explained, all our own experience and lessons learned and mistakes that we made and, you know, and investments that we've made and all those things, you bring that into coaching today. And so, you know, what is that actually worth? And I saw this in the corporate world too, where I got into consulting for the last sort of 5 years of my corporate career because I would see people next to me who were earning twice as much as me because they just called themselves consultants and didn't get sick pay and annual leave. And I was like, so I'm getting paid half just to get sick pay and annual leave and, you know, have that kind of, you know, guaranteed income. And I thought, well, I don't get sick. I actually work all the time because I was a workaholic and I might as well get paid twice as much and get, you know, and actually just know that I'm on $1,000 a day or whatever it is. And if I don't work, I don't get paid. So I had that sort of mentality that I didn't need that, you know, I didn't have that employee mindset right from the start. I just didn't have that kind of, you know, I just have to show up to get paid. I was willing to work for it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. It makes me think of something that I've been harping on about for a while, about the container being the investment. It's kind of like the crossroads is if you think about everything that came before you creating that container, like you creating your mastermind, your one-to-one, and basically manifesting all the circumstances of this container that like holds all of this in it. And so everything that came before that, all the lessons learned, all the trials, the tribulations, the errors, the wins, the losses, the fails, the successes, all the strategies, everything all rolled into that one. And then also what is to come for that year of being in it and the investment being, and especially with the higher investment, it being the gift in and of itself, because the points where you usually would run away in the resistance and you'd be like, you know what? I don't feel like it today. Because imagine if we were like $100 for a year to work with us. When you're not feeling it, you're not going to come to the one-to-one session. You are just going to be like, no, you're just going to actually hear the resistance and see it as fact. And you're not coming to that one-to-one call. You're like, hey, don't really need it today. Not really into it today. But when there's money and skin in the game, the investment becomes the gift because you're like, I didn't even want to show up today to do this call. As in you have this booked call with your coach and you know that you didn't even want to come, but there's money and skin in the game and just over what feels comfortable, like over what feels comfortable for you. And then you're going to show up and go into it when you're in the sabotage or you're in the resistance or you're wanting to run away or you don't want to show up. And that's why that higher price becomes like, essentially for me, it just becomes that gift because you're going to show up when you would not usually, especially if it was like $100 in a year, you're going to forget it within 2 days, no skin off your back, nothing's on the line, nothing is invested. So that investment becomes, it's of no value because you're not going to show up and do that harder work and get to those edges that you usually wouldn't go beyond and get those breakthroughs that you get by staying and sticking with it because there's skin in the game, you know?
Oh my gosh, 100%, 100%, 100%, 100%. And I talk about this all the time, you know, it's like, to me, look, I have no judgment for the choices that people make, right? Because you can still be successful with low ticket. You absolutely can. You just need more volume and it's just a whole different business model. And so I don't throw stones at low ticket, but I kind of look at the benefits of high ticket and who benefits from high ticket, you know, and this kind of belief system that people have that, you know, if we make it more affordable, it's better for the client, right? And the reality is it's a lose-lose for everyone, because our why is to have more impact potentially. That's one part of it, the external why. The internal why maybe to have a better lifestyle and more time and flexibility for ourselves and our family and that kind of thing, right? A couple of whys, generally speaking, that we have. You know, if we're charging low ticket, we typically have to work a lot harder and have to work more hours, right? So that doesn't really benefit us or our family. And if we're charging lower ticket, how can we really truly have that impact, right? People don't show up for it exactly like you said. And also, you know, we end up getting tired, we end up getting resentful, and there is no impact because we end up quitting before we even get to that stage where we can truly have massive impact, right? Because money just amplifies what's possible. And without money, it's just a lose-lose for everyone as far as I'm concerned, because I know investing $50,000, how I show up for it. And it sounds terrible to say this today, but because $5,000 is still a lot of money, but I wouldn't show up the same way for $5,000, let alone for $50. I mean, for $50, I would probably sometimes even not open the email, you know, because it's just like, seemed like a really good idea at the time. I saw the ad and I download, you know, I put my credit card details and purchased that course or whatever it is, the PDF. And then it's like, oh, still in my inbox, unopened, you know. And yeah, I mean, obviously that's my belief system, right? And I'm very aware that not everyone thinks the same way, but yeah, I don't see the benefits.
I love this because I think there's obviously, because I have low ticket stuff, there's a place for it. And there's also got to be a person that does the high ticket so that it can be that for that certain person. I've always been at the mindset, so I do have lower ticket stuff, but most of the things that are lower ticket, it kind of puts a little bit of skin in the game. But my lower ticket is generally, if you did the confetti on the internet, it's there. The stuff that I teach, like there's lower price, it's there if you pulled apart all the confetti that I spray over the internet. But you got to go find it. And so you pay to get it concisely put together. But I often say, like, especially with what I'm doing and what we're doing and the people we work with, there's, if like the free stuff, for me, it feels like I created most of my business from consuming free stuff, but I'm so motivated. Like I was so motivated. Yeah. But if I have, now that I have the money, I just like, I am not figuring that out by myself without a course or without it. Like if I want to go learn something, I'm not going to have to spend 100 hours micro learning or meta learning by watching somebody else's stuff, by trying to pick it apart and figure it out. And so now that's like the luxury of having that money is I can actually shorten and fast track my learning curve. And I feel like that's why the wealthier get wealthier faster, because once you've like cracked that and you have the money to speed up your learnings, then you can go faster. But in the meantime, there's always that opportunity and that option to you consume the free stuff, which you do actually do a lot of. So segueing in, I love how simple. And one of your beautiful things that you talk about is like simplicity and sustainability and scaling. Those are the three things. And I guess this is also in the realms of manifestation. You manifested this big dream of having a business where it's high ticket offers, a business where it's simple and sustainable and scalable. This is a big dreams manifested. Like you had that as a vision when you first started, like, I need this to be simple. So my favorite quote around simplicity, I probably have said this to you before, but was from Tim Ferriss. He says in his book, The 4-Hour Workweek. So I read that in 2007 and I wrote it with crayons and I framed it and it said, simplicity requires ruthlessness. So what's your take on that? So with me, it's like simplicity requires ruthlessness. It's like, you've got to be ruthlessly committed to all those bells and whistles, the embellishments, all the things you could do in order to be and keep things simple. So what's your vibes with that quote around simplicity requires ruthlessness, and obviously that being the big dream for you with the simplicity?
I remember reading that book too and remember just thinking, wow, imagine, right? Mm-hmm. Because when I read it, I was working in corporate still and working stupid hours, and I couldn't even imagine it. You know, I couldn't even fathom that. I mean, I don't have a 4-hour work week, that I'd be lying if I said that was the case, but most days I work less than 4 hours. On occasion, I do put in an 8 hour or a long, you know, a longer day. It's not like I'm allergic to hard work. It's I don't have to, right? I don't have to. And for me, ruthlessness, yeah, I get it. I completely get it. Tim Ferriss saying that. For me, it's a mindset thing. It really takes a lot of work and self-belief to keep business simple, right? Because our natural instinct is to say and think we have to do more.
Yeah.
You know, that's not enough, you know. And it, society, everything around us, like my belief system, I used to wear it like this workaholic badge, you know, like, yeah. Oh my gosh, look at me go, you know, I work so hard and this is why I'm successful and everything that we have has come from hard work and we amazing because we work so hard, you know, because that's what we were all told, right? You have to work hard to get ahead in life and to be successful. And look, and there is a place for hard work, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you can be lazy and have everything that you want, but we can be smarter about it and we can keep things simple. And yeah, it was like I had to do it. I had no choice. If I was going to be successful, this was the only way I could make it work. And then, so it was a requirement for me to keep business simple in the first instance, and then it became my niche, right? It became my thing. It became what I could help other people with as well. And so it does take a lot of mindset to know that one piece of content is enough, and because I've still got 8 hours left in my day, I don't have to do 15 other things. But that's not to say if you feel inspired to do more, you can't, right? You absolutely can. There are no rules around it. It's our business. We can do whatever we want, but we don't have to, is the point. And and it's what we do that matters, right? Not how much we do. It's kind of doing less but doing it well. So, yeah. And like you said, I do a lot of free trainings, and same, like everything that I actually teach my clients, I give out free as well.
Yeah.
People can piece it all together. Absolutely. They 100% can. Nobody needs a coach is what I keep saying. You know, it's all out there. There's so much information. It's just trying to piece it all together. It's the trial and error. It's the throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what works, what doesn't work. That's what can take time, right? And so, yeah, so for me, where I feel my clients really benefit is not so much from the information, because I actually share that very, very freely and readily with my audience.
Yeah.
It's from the feedback and the support and the, you know, because sometimes you can take a piece of information and implement it, but if it's not working, you don't know why. Yeah. And that's the piece that's the feedback loop that's often missing, I feel, from, and fair enough, at a lower price point, you can't then also provide the free coaching, you know. Yeah, so that's a benefit of,
I think it's like you're taking it to the edges. Like when you invest, you're taking it to the edges, like the simplicity and all of the things that they're doing. And if they're coming to you and want simplicity is one of the things that you do, and it's one of the things that's really important to you, they're taking it to the edges. So every time that they're like with me when I first started, and everyone, I think, once you like get it going, you're like, oh, I got to make a website now. You're like, okay, I got to do my website. I got to make a blog now. Okay, I got to do a blog. All right. So now I need to do a funnel. Okay, now we got to do a funnel. So then you got to figure out that. And so now it's like, okay, now I got to do a sales page. And that sales page that I used to do, it's not good enough. Now I need to add about 2,000 words. And now I need to learn how to do a sales page. And now I need to buy a course on doing a sales page. And then it's just this constant needing to learn more and do more and not just keep it simple. And that I feel is this constant pursuit. But then I guess some people really like to have that complex business and they've got the capacity to, it's complex and there's so many moving parts and pieces, and that probably feels really good for them as well. But then there's some of us that like to have, like, I don't want to, and to do that and have all those moving pieces, it's going to require more of you than 4 hours. You're going to have to do the eight, even when you don't feel like it. Whereas I feel like for us, we have the space sometimes to work on our website for a day and like, I'm going to like tinker with that and make it better. because I feel like it. It's not, I don't have to. So do you find that with like, with the simplicity piece of how do you rein yourself back in and then not feel like you're restricting yourself, feel like you're actually like, this is a vision. That's like the tricky area, isn't it, with the simplicity?
Yeah. And FOMO is real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jana, you hear this. I come in. I'm so transparent and honest about
like
myself.
I could do that.
Everyone. I know, because I am different even within your mastermind. And I knew that before I came in. I suspected that would be the case. And I get inspired by hearing and seeing what everybody else is doing. And I'm like, oh, should I do that? You know, can I do that too? And then I have to go, and okay, why are you doing this? And sometimes I come to you to help me see my blind spots. Yes. And I'm like, so why am I doing this? Am I doing it because I really feel inspired to try something different and new that's creative? Or am I doing it because I feel like I could be missing out on something, you know? And I have to keep asking myself that question. And sometimes I come to you and ask you that question because I'm like, I kind of want to figure this out for myself, you know? And so that FOMO pops up all the time. Every time a new platform opens, whether it's TikTok or Clubhouse or whatever else.
Clubhouse, TikTok, kind of, oh my gosh, what else?
I kind of go, am I missing out? Should I be doing more of this? You know, and I stand by the fact that I can build a wildly successful business by keeping business super, super simple. But then there does come a point when you do have to, I guess, consider, like, are you going to add? So in my case, it's one offer, one platform, one system, right? That's how I've kept it simple. So do I add a second platform to scale? Do I add ads to scale? You know, throw money at it to scale? Do I create a second offer to scale? You know, and that's at around the $250,000 mark, right, that I'm starting to make these decisions about how do I scale. But then I keep coming back to, but I want to keep it simple. I want to keep it simple, you know. Or do I increase my pricing to scale? You know, there are just so many different ways to do it without necessarily massively overcomplicating it, right? But certainly I am tempted, you know, and I explore other options. And then
it's tricky.
It is tricky.
It's tricky when you get to that point because you're like, am I resisting my growth? Because that's the thing when you are like with me with keeping it super simple, because then there was definitely like these trajectories or these forks in the road where it's like, is there room for expansion right now? Or is this of the ego, or is this aligned for my next right move? And it's that's what I think is so powerful about being in a container, because you're bringing to the surface things that you might have been like, this is the way that I do it, this is the way that I've always done it, and that's the way I'm going to do it forever, and that's it. And we can get super stuck in our own ways and stuck in like, this is the way I've done it, always will do it. And you will sort of like, that will hold for a long time. It like, it stays and it holds and it's really strong, like a big amount of time sometimes. Like I didn't have an email list for so long. And then it was just like, it's the right time. And this is my vision for it. And my vision for it was customer service. It was like customer service, the priority, and also community service, as in this is where I went live. This is the post, this is that. And it kind of became more of a community service, and it became like it was the right time. And that's oftentimes because you're exploring it. I feel like because you're exploring it, that you're not just like, she's doing it, so I'm going to go do it. You've got your values. It's kind of like you've got the value to work from, and then you can make decisions not reactionarily, but from that place of this is a value to be simple. I'm feeling the desire, but how can I actually stay true to that value with this evolution, with this growth? And that's like kind of like what we do, isn't it? It's like that's what we do when we're doing the work on ourselves and our business, as we're checking ourselves, constantly checking ourselves, and especially when we're in a container where the point is to like constantly explore our edges and like, is this still in alignment doing it this way, or do I want to pivot a little bit? And it's that constant super like, I find we've got to be so self-aware to be able to do that, because otherwise I just get very stuck in my ways, or I get very influenced, right? It's like two ways.
Yeah. And I am open to exploring, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean because I'm keeping business simple that I'm absolutely, you know, closed off to any other options or opportunities. It's kind of become almost, and I say this often, it's like an experiment now for me. How to simplify more, you know, how to. So at the moment, since coming into your world, I'm exploring and testing not doing sales calls, because I've always done sales calls, you know, and I still enjoy the sales calls. So it's not a definite no, I'm never getting on a sales call, but it's kind of really nice to play with that and just sort of see how it feels and to just have conversations in the DMs without actually getting on a call, you know. And so
I love the light, your face lights up when you're like, I'm experimenting. It's like, I'm just like playing with this. This is cool. This is something new. I'm experimenting with. You're like, your whole face is lighting up.
Yeah, well, I kind of say this, that I've worked with some amazing coaches, including yourself, and I've learned so many incredible things, you know, and I bring things into my business and some things stay forever. Some things are tested and then I kind of go, no, that doesn't feel right, or that didn't work, or that is more work, or whatever the reason is. And sometimes, you know, I add my own quirky touches to it and I do it in a slightly different way. And it's kind of fun because it's still, and then I'm able to, I go first, right? It's like trying something out for the first, and then once I've figured it out, then I can take it to my clients, you know, so, and tell them, hey, try this out. This is how it works, or this is how it seems to work. And, you know, but yeah, so I kind of love doing things like that too. With the ultimate goal of.
Mm-hmm. And keeping it simple at the scale. I love that. And I love when we hold true and hold fast and stay true to our things. Like even amongst the bright shinies, and we stay true, hold fast and stay true, but then we're also open. It's such an interesting thing. It's such an interesting vibration to hold. And you definitely have like been able to hold that. It's like hold fast, stay true, and also open. It's a very interesting mix, and it's very conducive with next levels and building something you don't want to break. And that's, I feel like we're on such a mission at this time of, and especially when I'm working with you guys, it feels like let's build something we don't want to break. So the moves that we make are very in alignment with our values and the way that we want to have and the way that we see it at the bigger scale. So having said that, look at me go. This next big dream, like what are the big dreams now that you're manifesting? Like whether it be big dreams in business or big dreams as it is, what are the big dreams that you're manifesting? Because like you've manifested high ticket offers, as in like a really amazing, beautiful business that's simple and sustainable and scalable, and it suits your needs and it feels like really good and you're doing your life's work, but all of those things manifested. What is now that you, what you're working on, what you're manifesting?
Yeah. So manifested a multiple six figure business by keeping it simple. So I'm still manifesting a seven figure business by keeping it simple, you know, so that's still a work in progress. From a personal lifestyle perspective, we're sort of now reaching that next stage in our life. You know, my husband and I, our kids are 16 and 18, and I actually have more time on my hands than I've ever had before. And my parents being really well cared for, and I have more time than I've ever had before, you know, and these are some of the reasons why I had to keep my business simple, because I had some other personal commitments that were, you know, also eating into my time. But our dream, my husband and I, once our kids are settled, so this is probably still maybe 3 to 4 years away, once, you know, we've got both kids pretty settled, we're taking off, you know, we're going to go back to, we traveled a lot before having children, and we'll start traveling again by ourselves. But obviously, you know, having a place that, and our goal is to go and spend 3 to 6 months at a time in different parts of the world. So we really experience that local culture and what it feels like to be, and not just backpacking, which is what we've done in the past. And so our kids can also kids can also come in and work with us, and so by then our offline business will be sold, and I would still love to be in my coaching business, and so having it a simple business would make so much more sense as well, right? So that's the thing, I sort of have to do that test of, okay, now I have the time, but is this going to get in the way in 2 to 3 years' time when I'll be back into traveling and doing other things? And Of course, you know, there's always the option of bringing on a team and other things too. So there is still flexibility, right? Once we're earning money, that's the good thing. We can actually also bring in support in the way of a team and that kind of thing as well. So, yeah, manifesting more travel.
I love that.
Manifesting, yeah, a seven-figure coaching business and probably another much, much closer in the next sort of 6 to 12 months, probably another investment property as well. So
I love it. Yeah. So what's usually your process? Like when you set a big dream, do you like make a big decision around it that kind of like encapsulates it? What sort of moves do you make to like set that's a big dream, not just kind of like an idea that's floating in the ether?
You know, I'm not even really sure exactly how I do it, but once I've made a decision, that's it. Yeah. It's done. It happens. I don't even need to, you know, I don't even need to try.
Yeah.
I become obsessed, actually. That's what it is. I obsessively think about it, you know. So this investment property, I know it's going to happen way sooner than my husband's ready for it, because it's like, can we take a bit of time on this? And I'm like, yeah, sure, before Christmas. And he's like, Anne, we don't need to keep jumping into things. What are we waiting for? You know, so, yeah, I want to set up my, so we live a little bit out of town at the moment on 25 acres, and I want to buy an inner city home. So we have two homes. And our kids can have that as a base for university, but it's still our home as well. So we also, you know, we'll have it'll be a family home, which when we go traveling, we'll probably sell up the country home, keep the inner city home, and then, yeah, they look after things as we go. So that's my plan.
That feels like it all works together. Like that works all like together. I feel like, so when you're traveling, you've got your hub. It feels like all of those three things work together. And I love what you said about the decision, because more and more as I like go along this journey, I realize the power of our decisions. And I feel like when I first started setting my big dreams and I would make a decision to go for the vision, I used to kind of like willy-nilly say it. But I didn't realize the way I make decisions is very different. And the way that my successful colleagues, my clients make the decision, it's very absolute. We don't make a decision unless we mean it. We don't just kind of like, yeah, I'm just deciding, but kind of not really, maybe it's almost. It's just like, I decide, that is it. That is done. Decisions made. It's happening. It's the time before where it's just, I don't even say it's a dream or a goal. It's an idea. It's floating in the ether. But once it's a dream, it's a decision. I have no idea how it's going to happen, but the decision. And I think what we do differently is we put a lot of weight for the decision process, and we know what actually activates our decision process as well. I feel like we know what leads up to it, but once it's done, it's done. And it can be quite quick once we like, that's it, I'm deciding. So I definitely feel like decisions have been a massive part of my success. Do you feel like that for you? Like yours might just be quick, but there is always a lead up probably. What I've found, is that sort of similar for you?
Yeah, 100%. And it's the difference, I guess, between trying and committing, right? And I know that sounds like coaching one-on-one, but it is, you know, it's that. And I do say I'm testing this out. At the moment, I'm testing out Instagram. I'm testing out YouTube, you know, because I'm testing to see where I want my second platform, where I want to focus more of my effort as I expand onto the second platform. And that's completely different to the commitment that I've made to Facebook, you know, and the commitment that I've made to a seven-figure business and to traveling the world with my husband and to buying an investment property. They're a commitment, you know, and yeah, it's just, exactly. It's 100% conviction, certainty, it's happening.
This is sort of like on Instagram, it's like you've made the commitment to seven figures. It's like that's happening. The process is probably it's flexible. It sounds like you're more flexible with the process. But then once you figured it out, like once you're like, you're playing with YouTube, you're playing with Instagram, because Facebook's in, it's done, it's in, committed. But now you're experimenting and playing. And I feel like some way down the track, that's where the decision kind of goes in of like, this is going to be the piece of the other piece of the puzzle of what is already decided, that I'm creating a seven-figure business and it's done. And this is like, I've landed on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I don't think you can test something out you know, you can test something out for a short period of time, like a couple of weeks, just to see how it feels, you know, mm-hmm. you do the work and so on. But you can't really get results in a couple of weeks. You know, that's not feasible. You've got to kind of go in for, you know, at least 3 to 6 months to really see if it's going to work or not. And so, yeah, and I'm at that kind of very early stages.
I love it. Oh, my God. Okay, I feel like this is such a beautiful call. So we've had about the high ticket offers, so much gold around that, keeping it super duper simple in your business. And now looking at it, it makes so much sense even to continue that for you because you've got these big dreams and in 3 years' time, like what is going to be happening, and it's going to be travel. So if you make the business complex now, then the travel is going to be less easier. So we get to keep it like super simple from here. And then these big dreams and the way that we make these decisions. I love it. So much juice, so much awesomeness. So I would love you to just riff on, just to finish this off, but to sort of like wrap it up in a bow, your mastermind. Like that's the main thing that you have, right? So you've got, so basically on Facebook, you show up, you do your live stream, then you've got your mastermind. And that's basically what created this like multiple six figure business on its way to seven. Can you riff on that for a bit, like your mastermind and what you do in that?
Yeah. So sorry to how I've been explaining things. It's cookie cutter solution, right, that I offer my clients. So every single client is very, very different within the mastermind. And it's a hybrid kind of mastermind and one-to-one coaching as well. And I provide a really high level of support. I have a library. I call it a library because course, it's not a start at module one and work your way through to module whatever. It's a library of information that I've created, trainings that I've created over the last sort of 4 years, really, and which I leverage and I get my clients to leverage as and when needed, depending on exactly where they're at. Because I have some clients who are at zero and some clients who are at $100,000 a month, right? So I've got a really broad range of clients within the one mastermind because I keep it simple. But these clients still benefit from being in a container with sort of people and doing business in very different ways. And yeah, so it's very individualized, it's very customized, it's very personalized kind of feedback and support that I provide. And it's very high touch, but still doesn't take up a lot of my time. You know, like it's 5 minutes here and 5 minutes there on the days that I'm not officially catching up on a sort of a group coaching session or a one-to-one session. And the whole thing, and the reason my clients come to me is because in some cases they haven't yet got started, but they're actually few and far between. Most of my clients have been in business for a couple of years. They've massively complicated their business. They're hustling.
Yeah.
And they're kind of like, I really like the fact that you kept business simple. How can I get it? You know, how can I do that? Yeah. And then, you know, and some clients after working with me, they start to slowly overcomplicate their business. And I will never kind of say, oh, you can't do that. Because it's their business, it's their life, you know. But I will be the mirror and just kind of say, hey, this is happening. If you're consciously making this choice, go for your life. I 100% support you. Mm-hmm. But if this is kind of just happening without you realizing, I just wanted you to know, you know. And they're kind of like, oh, my gosh.
That's such a distinction though, isn't it? It's like, did that. That's such a good thing for us all to like always be constantly in communication with ourselves is like, did this unconsciously happen or is this a conscious expansion? Is this a conscious like, okay, I'm doing this and I'm consciously doing it, or that slip into the habit of overcomplicating it unconsciously? It's that makes it kind of, that's how you can tell. Like that's how you can tell whether it's like the right next move, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because an in-between stage before you're bringing in that consistent income,
mm-hmm.
and after you've made one or two sales is when you want to overcomplicate things, because you've got the taste of making a few sales, but you haven't yet reached that fully consistent income, and then you feel like you need to do more or something different. And, you know, and that can look like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I've got this incredible idea for a new offer.
Yeah.
Right. Tell me about it. And it's like, okay, so last week you were kind of stressed out about X, Y, Z. So how's this going to fit in? Huh? Okay. Mm. You know, and if they still choose to do it, or for whatever reason they feel like it's a great idea, but really what's going on is they're losing confidence in what they've got, and they're kind of going, oh, I'll just throw something else in so then I can give people two options to choose from. Because, you know, they didn't, people don't seem to want that one option. Well, no, you just haven't consistently.
Now you just split your energy.
Yeah. Exactly, right? Yeah. And it works as a business model. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but then that comes with a level of complexity, right, that you're bringing into your business, that's all. And if you're doing it consciously and you're happy to, then go for your life, you know. I'm not here to say you can't.
Different.
Yeah. But often, not always, but often it's because something's lacking, right? It's because if they were getting sales and consistent sales, they wouldn't be creating another offer. So let's focus on what's not working, you know, the leak. What is it that you need to kind of hone in on, tweak, improve? Is it your content? Is it your offer? Is it your messaging? What is it? So tweak and improve something that you've already got rather than creating something new.
Mm, I love that. I think it's always comes down to, is it reactionary? Are you reacting to the results not working, or is this from your soul? Like, this is like, I'm just in it when I'm doing, which at times I do have 50 things going, and it's like, wow, you've got this happening. I've got this hour workshop, and I've got this 3-hour workshop next week. And then I've got this program and that one, and I'll be in it, but I won't even notice, as in I'm just in it. I'm just like, oh, this thing, and I'm selling them, and they're selling. And it just is, you're in like that vortex. And then there's other times of like, is this move for me to launch this thing or to put this thing on sale? Is it FOMO? Is it reactionary? Is it because this is not working? All of those reasons, there's nothing wrong with having 50 million things, but all of those reasons are lack. It's like, I am moving from lack, and lack is going to attract lack. So it doesn't make even any sense in the long run. So for me, more the less and less and less that I lived from lack, the actual less and less that I started to launch. And then I was like, oh, wow, a lot of it was when I was in a state of lack or wanting more sales or wanting more of that like dopamine hit. And so this year was like very much around not reacting to that feeling and really figuring out what lack looked like specifically for me. And then not reacting to that and doing business as usual. But then there's, and so it's being able to figure out which one's which, because it's so tricky. It's like so tricky. And it took I would say it's taken me 8 years to know what it looked like for me, because it's sneaky. Lack is sneaky. It's like, no, this offer, it's like the best thing ever. And then they do it, but then they half-ass do it instead of like full out do it, because it was a lack move to start with, versus the ones that are like filled with abundance is just like in it, you're in it, you're in it, you're in it, and it's selling, but you don't even know if it's selling because you're not even looking at that. You're just so in the creative process. But yeah, it's definitely like looking at what is a lack move for you or reaction for you. I even do that with balance. And I think, I don't know if this transfers, but I've always been at the mindset of like, obviously balance is something you find, you create, you don't find it. And if I want to rest on a work day and it's Netflix or something like that, and I'm like, okay, that's reactionary, because I've got a whole day off on Wednesday that's built in. Mm. It's built, my rest is built in. So it's all built in. So I don't ever need to balance myself out because it's already built in. And so that anything where I want to do Netflix on a normal day, it's like in the not times where it's not Netflix time, I know it's a resistance. And so it's sort of like, mm, now I've set up the whole schedule of my whole life that I know when it's resistance, because I don't do things as a reaction. I don't have to balance myself because I've got 3 days off, full off a week, and then all the afternoons off except Tuesdays. And so I have all this built-in stuff for me to have like that alarm bell, like, hey, because before what I used to do is just like, I'm balancing. It's like, no, you're literally just sitting watching Netflix. You're not balancing anything. It's just avoiding, like, you're just being lazy.
Well, and we're avoiding something, right, exactly, at that time too. And yeah. And look, and I'm not anti-hustle, right? I think there's hustle, yeah, which can be so much in flow, which is what you were talking about before. And then there's hustle, which is very push. Mm-hmm. And it's that push that comes from lack.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in flow and you don't even suddenly, you know, it's 6 o'clock in the evening and the kids are asking for dinner and you're like, damn, what happened? The danger's, I know.
It's like, to go to the toilet. It's so annoying.
I'm just sitting here with my legs crossed because I don't have time to go to the toilet because I'm so in flow and it's like, it's so good.
It's the best feeling, right?
It is the best feeling. Yeah. And I think there's a time and place for that. And I think it's fun, you know, whereas that lack hustle is not fun.
Mm. I think that's even like sums up everything here, because the simplicity that you do is because of abundance, and simplicity, you've got to be in an abundant mindset to be able to fully go with simplicity as a business model. You've got to be in abundance, because otherwise you're just like, I need more to add more complexity, more this, more that, more this, the other. That's it's lack move if you're doing it because it's not working versus doing it because you're fully inspired to do it that way. So I think simplicity obviously requires such an abundance mindset, is like everything that one thing that I do is going to create, like that one little match is going to create an explosion. And every single little thing that I touch has got so much weight, and there's so much weight to my words. And like, I see when you post a post, it's not like you're posting 50 to bajillion a day. It's just like that one post, and it's potent and it's powerful and it's palpable, and it's always you. I would sum it up to, you light a match and create an explosion. It's kind of like that. It's a little explosion. So I love it. Oh, it's such a beautiful you. Thing to watch.
thank you. That's so lovely of you to say that. Yeah. The irony is that my business is called Anne Ryan Strategist. Mm-hmm. I have been a strategist all my life. You know, like in the corporate world, I was a strategist. And it is such a mind game to keep it simple. A strategy does come into play, but it's so much more about the mindset. It is so much more about the mindset. And that's not necessarily my strength, right? Which is why I came to, that's another reason I chose you as my coach, because I really I really wanted more of the mindset and the energetics.
As a strategy.
As a strategy.
Here we go. We're still being as. See that how I work that strategy. In with the way that you work? This is the way that it works. Like, she's like, you can take that in as like, mindset is my strategy. I am really strategic. So I know that it's all about mindset. So let me run like the wind with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the whole masculine and feminine thing, I struggled so much with the feminine, right? Because I was such a masculine kind of strategist and action taker.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that I've come full circle and now here I am. Yeah.
I know. And now it's the strategy. It is the strategy. I love that.
It is the strategy. Mindset is the strategy.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So good. Oh my God. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm so grateful for this talk. I feel like there were so many gems and there was so much like extractions of like juicy nuggets we can chew on. So thank you so much for being here. Where would you love people to come and visit you first if they don't know you and this is the first time that they're getting to hear you speak?
My Facebook group is probably the best place, but you can come via my personal profile. My group, the link to my group is there in my bio. But my Facebook group is called High Ticket Strategies, and I show up once a week.
Once a week? Lights an explosion with one match.
Yeah, that's it. But it is fire. It is like, you should see my group insights. There's this one day a week where I've got this massive peak, you know, which overflows a little bit into the next day as people are watching the replays and that kind of thing. But then the rest of the week, it's pretty quiet. It's pretty low key. It's pretty chill. That's a little bit like my business, except I do other stuff on the other days in my business and on my business and working with my clients and that kind of thing. So
I love it.
Yeah, works so well.
Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I love having you on. I love our conversations. It's been amazing. Thank you,
Jana. I'm so grateful for you and for this opportunity to have a chat and for all your coaching and support. And Figure Seven is the best, and it's the best investment I made, and I'm so happy that we get to hang out till my birthday next year.
I love it. I love it, love it, love it. Oh my God, that makes my heart sing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much for being on the Dreamswear Show, listening to the Dreamswear Show. Love you guys so much.
Bye, guys.